Here, stand at the bottom of this tree and look up. Look way, way up. Doesn't that go way, way up there?
Whoa.
It's incredibly high.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
This book is called A Tree is Just a Tree. And then there's a question mark at the end. Now I'm going to read it. A tree is just a tree. Not to a hider, not to a rider. Not to a runaway, not to a holiday. Not to a flicker, not to a picker. Not to a chatterbox, not to dry socks.
Not to a wood spirit.
Not to a wood spirit. Not to a cold night. Not to a boat maker. Not to a trip taker. Not to a tapper. Not to a napper. Not to a hot day. Not to the old ways. Not to a small home. Not to a fall poem. A tree is just a tree. Not to me.
Coots Paradise. One of the most important things about Coots Paradise are the trees.
Yeah.
We've got massive trees, and they're really, really old too. How old do you think they are?
7,000 years old.
Holy cow, that would be a really old tree. Well, there might be some 7,000 year old trees, but they've gone back into the soil. They don't look like trees anymore. They look like dirt. Wow. But they're probably 7,000 year old trees, because do you know what was going on 12,000 years ago here?
Yeah.
If we were standing here 12,000 years ago, well, it wouldn't be very good, because there'd be 1 kilometer of ice on top of us. So we would be frozen. We'd be in the middle of an ice cube. Because there's something called glaciers. Yeah. Have you guys heard of glaciers? It's this big pile of ice that was all over this part of Canada and down into the United States 12,000 years ago. And then it melted over time. Things warmed up and everything melted. And over time, 7,000 years ago, when you were thinking about 7,000 years ago, the trees were growing 7,000 years ago. That's a neat part about this part of Ontario where we live. And now we've got big rocks and stuff left behind. We've got the Niagara Escarpment, you know, the mountain in Hamilton, our mountain, and all kinds of valleys and waterfalls and all that kind of stuff. And that's all from the glaciers leaving. So we're gonna see a lot of really big trees. And you know, actually most of the trees, some of the trees that we see, this one right here, you see this tree right here? It's a really big tree. And part of it's dead. You can see this yeah. branch right here, because you can see insects have been munching on it.
Yeah.
And beetles and woodpeckers and that kind of stuff. But the other part of the tree is still alive, right? Because you can see the top. Does anybody know what kind of tree that is? You can see the leaves. Be good to check them out in your binoculars.
Yeah. It's actually a white oak tree. These trees of that size are probably, they're probably about 150 years old. This tree's about 20 times as old as you are. So it's been around 20 times longer than you have. Very important that we protect areas like this, not only here in Coots Paradise, but right across Hamilton.
And Red Hill Valley.
Especially the Red Hill Valley, exactly.
Some places you're not even allowed to go off the trail.
Mm-hmm, that's right. That's a really important little lesson to know, eh? We have to stay on the trails.
Because you can kill plants.
Yeah, I was going to ask why, and that's exactly why, eh? If we go off the trails, then we step on plants. And plants are living. They're just like us.
Yeah.
They're living, and they sort of have families. Plants have families.
And you can also get poisoned
by
poison ivy.
Alrighty, so let's go deep into the forest. Look at all these oak leaves, eh? You can really tell it's an oak leaf because there's lots of little indentations like this.
I saw a leaf this big.
That big?
Yeah.
That's a huge leaf. Where'd you see that?
City Hall.
City Hall. I wonder if what kind of tree that was. They have, what are those kind of trees they have?
Sycamores.
The sycamores, yeah, the ones that...
Peeling bark, yeah.
We're just going to look at this tree for a second over here. The sort of dark colored one right closest to us here. It's really, really tall. Goes very, very, very straight.
Oh, that.
Look, he goes way, way up there.
Whoa.
You can see the top of it way, way up there. If you look really, really high.
Yeah.
The way I remember this, you know what it looks like to me? It looks like burnt cornflakes. You know at home you eat cornflakes? Maybe the odd one you get is kind of dark color because they maybe left it in the oven for too long. Well, if you look at this tree, to me it looks like burnt cornflakes. And
so it's the burnt cornflake tree.
Yeah, that's right. You can call it the burnt cornflake tree. Other people call it the black cherry tree. It's a black cherry tree. So they actually produce cherries, these trees. Now the cherries don't taste very good. They don't taste as good as some of the cherries we get at home. They're really, really sour and they make your tongue go bleh. You see lots of those. Not so easy one to remember. The bark is really distinctive. And always very, very, very straight. You have a tree to jump over here. Hey, look at all the neat stuff on this one.
Whoa, like a mushroom.
Exactly, that's what it is. It's a mushroom. It's a type of fungus. Or if you know there's a whole bunch of fungus, you call them, if there's more than one, you call them fungi. That's a really neat thing to say. I just like saying it. Fungi.
Fungi. Yeah.
I guess there are probably seeds coming down. But this one's got tons of fungus. You know what fungus does? I know we eat it. We eat mushrooms. But what it's doing is it's breaking down the trees. When the trees fall down, how do they become soil? Because soil, you know, if you pick up some soil, it's really soft stuff.
Yeah.
And that doesn't look like a tree. I mean, this is different than this. This is really hard, right? But what the fungus does is it breaks down the tree. It breaks it down until eventually the tree ends up looking like this. Yeah, it disappears and it becomes soil again. So that's what the fungus is doing. That's what the mushrooms are doing on here.
Trees hold soil into place. Otherwise, it would just blow away.
Exactly. That's one of the reasons why trees are very, very important.
Yeah, and also they give us oxygen.
Yeah, they do so much for us. And what do we do for them? I mean, what's with that? We have to protect trees because they do so much for us. They give us oxygen, you're right, we can breathe. Well, the one thing we do for them, most of us breathe oxygen, but trees actually breathe carbon dioxide. So the stuff that we breathe out when we go like that, we're breathing out carbon dioxide. And that's what the trees breathe in. Isn't that neat how that works? But we breathe out carbon dioxide and that's what those guys breathe in. And then they breathe out oxygen, and we breathe in oxygen. It's really neat. Who figured that out? Who designed that? It just happened somehow. I don't know. It's amazing. So it's neat how all these different things work together. If it wasn't for trees, I don't think we'd be alive. We would not be very healthy. Here, stand at the bottom of this tree and look up. Look way, way up. Doesn't that go way, way up there?
Whoa!
It's incredibly high.
And it's the pine needles.
This is a pine tree. And this is Ontario's tree. You know, Ontario has you heard of trilliums? You guys have seen trilliums or heard of trilliums? That's Ontario's flower. And this is Ontario's tree, is the white pine tree. If you're ever looking for owls, the best place to look are pine trees. Because what they do is they hang out in the top of the pine trees and they sleep during the day. Because owls are usually flying around at night because they have incredible eyesight and they can see it in the dark and they can hear really well. And they can see things on the forest at night.
At night, then they can sneak up on their prey.
Exactly.
The prey won't notice them.
That's right. They're silent.
They're sleeping.
And you know when you hear birds fly, they make a bit of a sound. Eh? Sometimes you can hear their wings or something like that or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Andrew.
Hey, no problem.
Yeah, it's good.
I'd like to do that.
But owls, when they fly, you're like you're sitting here at night and you're listening for owls and you're waiting for an owl, and this owl could fly right up and land right here, and if you're looking this way, you wouldn't even hear them. They're totally silent. They fly and they're totally silent. For hunting, exactly. That's really an amazing thing. And the other way you can sometimes tell, poop. It's very important. There's two things actually. There's poop on the ground, or more often there's poop on the side of the tree. So if we saw a bunch of white stuff right here, then we would probably know there's been an owl here. And depending how fresh it is, we would know if it was last night or maybe it was last week or something like that. The other thing we see sometimes at the bottom of owl trees are little pellets. They're little pellets. And it's what happens is when the owl eats a mouse or something like that, sometimes they eat mice. So if they eat the mice, they don't want to eat the bones and stuff like that, but they eat everything to begin with. Then they excrete, or they, when they go to the bathroom, they get rid of all the bones and all the fur and that sort of thing, and they end up being in a little round pellet like that. Here's another neat tree, this one here. Can you see anything different about this tree than we've seen in other kinds of trees? It's like the way it's growing.
There's two of them.
Yeah. Actually, it looks like there might have been three at one point, eh? Can you see? Like there's one going off to the right there, and there's one going off to the left. But it looks like there was one in the middle for a while. And then the two trees decided to grow together. They decided, well, let's just become one tree, because we can be stronger maybe. So yeah, you've got two trees that are coming from the same base. So we'd actually call that two different trees. It's a type of tree, the way I remember it, is it the bark kind of reminds me of an elephant. Sort of grayish, you know. You know how elephant skin is pretty, you know, smooth and flat, and it's kind of gray and sort of a little bit wrinkled. That sort of reminds me of that, and that's a beech tree. Yeah, elephant tree. You can call it an elephant tree, just like the cornflakes tree.
Boy and his dog. When I'm looking for the rainbow. What did they learn since that very day? Walking by the river and running like a blue streak through the fields and streams and meadows, laughing all the way. Oh, a redwood tree, please let us under. The redwood tree, it smells like rain, maybe even thunder. Won't you keep us from all harm? Wonderful redwood tree. And a boy and his father, when I'm looking for the lost dog.
Here's another neat tree. This one here, this sort of whitish one. Bet you guys know what that is. Birch, that's right, it's a birch tree.
Yeah.
Remember how they used to make birch bark canoes?
Yeah.
First Nations people, the Aboriginal people?
Yeah, and also then you can also write on birch.
Yeah, it's just like paper, eh?
If
part of the bark comes off, you could actually write a note to somebody on birch bark, and you could send them the note. And you can actually write right on it. That's called a white birch tree. And we also have yellow birch here as well. I don't know if we'll see any today, but here's a really neat tree's coming up. Really neat old tree, this one here. So this is, you guys have seen the movie Lord of the Rings. Has anybody seen that movie? Doesn't that look like one of those trees that sort of...
And that works. What are they called, those big trees? Ents, yeah.
Yeah, those trees that sort of walk and stuff and they talk. See how soft this is now, eh? Remember we said trees are really hard and then the soil's really soft? But look at this one here, like if you just sort of go like that, the tree part of the tree will come right off. See?
What was that?
It turned into soil.
I think that was an oak. I think it was an oak tree. It's a huge old tree though, eh? I just love it. But you can see little parts of the tree will come off for you. Sort of soft and everything, and you can see.
The fungus has left it, Brian.
I think it's even older than the fungus. Fungus have moved on to more recently dead trees.
Okay.
Yeah. Now the insects are working on it. All the bark's come off the one side, but we still have bark on this side, eh? You got a bug?
I see one over right here.
Like 3 inches thick.
Oh, yeah.
Really neat.
Yeah. I'm not sure what that is.
It might be a kind of moth because the hairy ones are moths normally.
That's right. You're right. You know tons.
Well, we read books.
Yeah. This is all pine. This is all pine bark. See how big it is? Like it comes off in big chunks like that. Yeah. Oh, just look at the little ones. Yeah. Way to go. Wow, look at those little guys here. That's an excellent observation. Way to go. You can show people the fungus that you found. It's right down in the bottom of the tree. Look at all the roots of the tree.
It's like stairs.
This big white pine tree, yeah, it's provided stairs for us, that's right. And now we're about to go into a different kind of forest. It's not really a forest, it's actually a wetland, and the plants that we'll be going into are called cattails. And when you go in there, it's actually a marsh, which is a type of wetland. And it seems like you're in a forest, because there's cattails all over the place. You kind of have to go right through the middle of the cattails. That's what we're going to do next, right along the boardwalk here. So say hi to the cattails on the way by. The birds build their nests in there, right in the middle of the cattails. There's a couple of ducks right out here. You can hardly even see them, eh? Usually there's great blue herons, but I guess they must be eating somewhere else this morning. I think most of the plantings now are more down the bottom because this area has actually come back. If we were here 10 years ago, there'd be hardly any cattails at all. But because they've kept the carp out with the fish barrier at the Desjardins Canal, all this stuff has just come back.
I used to study on one of the, not this boardwalk, the wider one, 12 years ago.
Yeah?
Sam's used to come out and study. And it was all open, and you could see the carp, and they would be when they were spawning,
oh,
I guess.
Yeah,
and they
that's
would be
right.
Like massive, like their bodies out of the water.
There was so you can really see a difference then. So within 10 years, we see the big difference. That's really neat to hear. You know, 5 years from now, it's going to be different again. Well, that's a hawk. That's a Cooper's hawk. Wow, you don't see those too much. Wow.
It's there.
Yeah.
Glided across there. Did you see it?
And they actually live in forests, that type of hawk. You know, it's smaller. It's smaller than the big hawks that we see. And it's also got a really, really long tail. Yep, so it acts like a rudder. You know, like when you actually figure out which direction you're going in. He moves his tail like this. So he can go left or he can go right. Because you know, in a forest, like flying out here is no problem, eh? Any of us could fly out here. Because there's nothing to run into. It's just wide open. But if you're in a forest, you have to watch for a tree. You have to be flying, you have to go, whoa, whoa. So that's why Cooper's hawks have the long tail so they can steer better.
Neat.
That's really neat. You don't see those too much. I'm just gonna show you guys this plant too. This plant right here. It's called a goldenrod plant. And these guys live, ooh, you guys got pizza. This only lives in the fall. It only comes out this time of year. And it doesn't cause allergies. A lot of people give goldenrod a bad name. That's such a common misconception, eh? So this is a positive plant. Be nice to goldenrods. Nice native species.
I'm Noam Chomsky. You're listening to Radio Free School on CFMU 93.3.
Cinder Hazel, the Cinderella of Halloween. It was another day in the dustbin for Hazel. While her two snobby sisters, Hermione and Hildy, had fun casting spells.
Jiminy Spimini.
Jiminy Spimini.
Yum yum.
Yum yum dum dum.
It was Hazel's job to clean the floor. Hazel swept from one end of the room
to the other.
Until the entire floor was covered with a thick layer of dust and dirt.
You know, Hazel? Instead of sweeping, you could fly that broom.
I'm not good at flying it.
She scooped up a pan full of ash and poured it right on top of her head.
This is what I'm good at. Dirt!
You are disgusting. Absolutely yucky. All you think about is dirt. For all the time you spend in that fireplace, we ought to call you Cinder Hazel.
Woo! Would you?
That very night, while Cinder Hazel played jacks with dirt lumps of coal, her stepmother and stepsisters got all spiffed up. They combed their frightful hair and coated their shoes with very clean shoe tar.
Does my hair look okay? My dress is too tight. I knew I shouldn't have eaten that last cookie. Help me put on my lipstick.
Go in somewhere?
Why, tonight is the witch's Halloween ball.
And rumour has it that tonight Prince Alarmin might come out of hiding.
Yes, and he's looking for a bride. But Cinder Hazel, you can't come. We don't want to be seen with you.
That's right. You're so messy, you'd make us look bad.
Girls, girls. Cinder Hazel couldn't get there if she wanted to. Just look at that cracked broom.
The three of them laughed and laughed. Then they leaped onto their brooms and blasted out the window.
Oh, who cares? Who wants to dance with some hoity-toity prince anyway?
But as the night grew darker and darker, Cinder Hazel started to simmer.
Think they can tell me what to do? I'll show them.
Cinder Hazel squished her hat on her head, grabbed her broom, and jumped on.
Crack!
Snap! The broom broke. She crossed her fingers. She crossed her legs and twisted around in a circle. Poof! Cinder Hazel's hat turned into a pile of dirt.
Nuts, I'm staying. Anyway, there's not a thing I'd like at that palace.
What do you think?
Who's there?
A big cloud of smoke exploded in the middle of the room. There stood a short, plump witch dressed in dirty dish rags.
Wow, great clothes. Okay. Who are you?
I'm your witchy godmother. And I can't believe you're not going to the ball. Didn't you know there are 15 filthy fireplaces over there?
Really?
Really.
And there's something else your stepsisters didn't mention. Prince Alarmin is the king of dirt. If I were you, I wouldn't let them keep you from going. By my witchy wig, you're right.
Then she frowned at her broken broom.
Step aside! This is my job.
She waved her arms around her head.
Bad old bats and a toad that's meaner. Make this broom a vacuum cleaner.
Boom!
The broom vanished, and in its place sat a nice, slightly used Hoopla vacuum cleaner.
Now toot off to meet your prince. And remember, my spells don't work past midnight.
Cinder Hazel sat down on the canister, grabbed the hose, and pulled back.
Vroom, 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 vroom.
It flew up the chimney with Cinder Hazel on it. Cinder Hazel zoomed across the sky toward the palace. A magnificent trail of charcoal smoke billowed behind her. With a downward twist on the hose, Cinder Hazel and her vacuum swooped down the biggest chimney she'd ever seen. Cinder Hazel landed on the hearth of the grand ballroom. The party was in full swing. And Cinder Hazel was full of dirt. Cinder Hazel was so yucky that even she wouldn't have known herself. Cried her stepsister Harmani, pointing at the mess.
That was Cinder Hazel.
It's that dirty prince.
The prince came out of hiding at last.
Princey,
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 princey, princey, princey, princey,
princey, princey.
All the witches cried as they tucked Cinder Hazel out of the fireplace.
Hey, wait a minute. That's my sister Cinder Hazel.
What's that thing with her? It looks like a vacuum cleaner. But across the ballroom, two beady little eyes were watching behind a trash can.
Stop that, all of you, or I'll put a spell on you.
This made everyone roar even louder. So Cinder Hazel crossed her eyes, she crossed her fingers, she crossed her legs and twisted around in a circle. Poof! All the witches' broomsticks turned to dirt. Dust covered everyone in the room. The witches were furious.
Clean up this mess, or we'll
the way. I have a newt and raven's wing. Rise up, old hoopla, and make them clean.
The vacuum cleaner rose into the air and headed for the witches. It sucked up the dirt, but it also sucked up their socks, and it sucked up the punch and the paper decoration.
Make it stop!
Cinder Hazel ran across the room, grabbed the trash can, and heaved it at the hoopla. Just then, the palace clock began to strike midnight.
Dong! Dong! Dong!
With the 12th dong,
dong,
the witchy godmother's dong, magic wore off. Poof! Brooms and party goodies blew across the room. Whoosh!
Whoosh!
The vacuum cleaner vanished. Cinder Hazel's broom fell into cracked pieces on the floor. The witches piled onto the mess, screeching for their shoes, their hats, brooms and socks. Just then, the biggest dirt boy Cinder Hazel had ever seen walked up to her.
Ew, yucky! You're filthy!
That's my name, all right. Prince Filthy Alarmin. And I must say, you are the dirtiest thing I've ever seen.
Thank you, your royal filthiness. Why have you been hiding so long?
Partly because I was told not to, and partly because it's at the boar dancing with some hoity-toity witches. Yuck, they're so clean.
You know, I came here because I was told not to.
She rubbed her nose with the hem of her skirt. The prince thought for a moment.
I asked you to stick around, but I'm not sure there's enough dirt for both of us.
That's what you think. Check this out.
She threw back her head. She crossed her eyes. She crossed her fingers. She crossed her legs. And she whirled around like a tornado. Kaboom! An explosion of fireplace soot blew all the other witches out the door. Not to be outdone, the prince squinted and stuck out his tongue. Kablam! Dirt showered down from the ceiling.
Obviously, there's plenty of dirt around here, but who says I want to stay?
Fine, then leave. Go away. I can see we can't stand each other.
But Cinder Hazel didn't go away. And of course, she and the prince actually liked each other a lot. In fact
they lived faithfully ever after.
Now let's do the P.S. and it's funny.
P.S.
Yes. Cinder Hazel never did get any glass slippers. But on their first wedding anniversary, the prince gave her a more useful present. Grass clippers.
Radio Free School, a show by, for, and about home learners.
How do you like school, Billy? Close!
The end!
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. L8S1CO.